Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Talk.
Well, while we were breaking for the holidays and we're all back now in studio, ready to go, I just can't express how much I love that 10 days of time with my family. It's become kind of a, like, our whole family together looks forward to it all year. Because my husband, of course, is a teacher, so he's off, and I take off. They actually encourage us for business purposes, if we're going to take time off, to take the time off between Christmas and New Year's, the details of which I can't really get too much into here. But a lot of times that's when a lot of people take off. It's funny to like tune in and watch the news on Fox News, which I barely did. A couple of times I popped it on over the break, but not really. And it's all the fill-ins. And I'm like, oh, I wanted to hear what Jesse Waters had to say. There are a few. Charlie Hurt, I like listening to him. Brian Kilmeade filled in a couple of times. Like, that guy is filling in for people on vacation.
Yeah, he's off, but
Brian,
he's filling in.
You don't have to, I'm sure. But you get to see other people. You get to hear other perspectives. I appreciate that. I'm more apt to watch Hannity for their fill-ins. But I didn't spend a whole lot of time doing that. And I think it's healthy to just unplug. I think it's healthy to spend time with people that matter to you and to just kind of soak in the calm of that period of time. We did talk before break about my excitement of potentially doing a bathroom renovation over the break. I sent you guys some photos.
Where's it at now?
It's the bathroom's still in the same place.
You didn't move it?
No. I tried to tell Jared, make it bigger and put it on the other side of the house. And he's like, I'm going to divorce you.
I always think it's fun to, you know, just add on a whole wing.
Yeah. I just have it stick out the back like you would in Minecraft or something. I don't know.
Prop it up with a couple of 2x4s.
He has completely replaced all the plumbing. And we put in a brand new bathtub, a brand new surround, all brand new fixtures, and the drywall and stuff. That I think I said this on the air. Like, he has learned a lot. I have a sister-in-law who does this stuff for a living, and she's been incredibly helpful. My brother-in-law also, and so we kind of leaned on them a bit. Jared could have done it himself, but you don't do home renovations.
I do and I don't.
Does that mean you do and then you have to pay someone to fix it?
I general contract it.
No, but you're not doing it.
I'm not doing much of the work.
No. Jared likes to do this stuff. In the first house that we bought in Hamel, Illinois, we bought it from an estate. It was in pretty rough shape when we bought it. We had a lot of time and no money. So he had to do things and he had to figure things out. And he has a lot of uncles and family members in the trade. So you just ask for help. And when you're in your early 20s, people are willing to show up and help you if you're, you know, trying to get stuff done. But he felt confident in his ability to get the job done, but he wanted to make sure it was done right. That you didn't walk in and you're like, all right, Mr. Handyman, I could tell you did this. He wanted it to be done right. And that was where he was a little concerned about his, like, finishing skills. And he's spent a ton of time watching YouTube videos and then, of course, leaning on the professional expertise of my sister-in-law, which has been incredible. It's not done yet. It's not finished, but you could take a shower in there now if you wanted to.
Which is the point.
The whole point. And to reiterate the point that I made before break, we weren't using the shower. The bathtub didn't drain. It was clogged or something. We didn't know. And there were also some leaks that were happening, not bad ones, but just, you know, places where you could tell water was where it wasn't supposed to be. And he found all of the things that were causing all of that, and he was able to fix everything so that the drain drains, it's brand new and everything, and identified where the leak was and what it was coming from and replaced everything. And it was all supervised by my sister-in-law, who does it professionally. So it's been a really it was really great. And I kept saying to him, like, how can I help? And if that means going away, you can say that, and I'll be happy to do that. And so I didn't help him very much.
That's my favorite part of working.
Being alone?
No, going away.
Going away. Well, you say that to the general contractor, or as a general contractor, the tradesman that you're paying.
You got this?
Yeah.
That's great.
Well, it's like I could be in there, and I could be helping in some capacity, but what that capacity would be might not be a net positive. So when it came to the demo of the bathroom, it's a full bathroom, but it's like a full second bathroom upstairs. It's not like a master bathroom suite or anything like that. Full tub, shower, toilet, vanity.
That's full bath.
Light. It's a full bath. When it came to the demo, I helped him pull some stuff out. I helped him. We painted the inside of where it. We pulled out the insulation and stuff just to be sure. But
you didn't find any doubloons or anything hidden in there by an old pirate or anything like that?
No, but I told him if we do the master bath now, also, we could.
Mm.
We'll do it for the doubloons.
Do it for the doubloons. Your house is built in probably like 95. So I'm not sure.
It'd be the last place that you would actually look. So
that's a good point.
Yeah. So I'll tell Jared we have to redo the master bath so we can make money.
Mm-hmm.
But he did.
Maybe you find an old painting back there or something from 95.
Or a treasure map?
Right. Right? Maybe you go down in your basement and it goes into a cavern that has a pirate ship.
I'm going to make a treasure map and hide it behind the drywall when he's not looking.
You should, with crayon.
He's going to kill me.
And loose leaf paper.
These types of things are really scary. And when we got done with day one, we fully demoed it, got everything down, like literally to the studs. Everything was out of the house. And he was like, I feel like we got a lot done. I'm like, I'm just happy we can't turn back. Like,
yeah.
One way or the other, if you don't finish this, someone's going to have to finish it. And we're going to have a second functional shower in the house once again. So people were asking earlier on the chat about the bathroom renovation. Yes, it commenced. And we have a lot of finish work that needs to be done. But like I said, our sister-in-law, she has offered to do that for us, which is just wonderful of her.
Was that your great best Christmas gift?
It's not done yet, but, gosh, 6 people, 1 shower. Not cool. Our master bath.
Sounds like college.
Yeah. For some, I don't know what you're talking about. But the bathtub that we have, the master bathtub, which when you buy a house, you're like, oh, look at that tub. I'm going to soak in this tub. It's going to be so nice. And then you use it 6 times a year. Right now has all of our laundry in it. Because our laundry is right outside of the bathroom that's being renovated. So I don't like to have clothes out there because of debris coming in and out. So everything's kind of in a state of dysfunction. I did take down the Christmas tree yesterday. Have you taken down your Christmas decorations yet?
No. We went to do it yesterday. We had such a busy day that we couldn't fit it in. The plan was to take it down yesterday, though. But all of a sudden, man, life starts again.
Yeah.
And you're going.
I said to Jared, like, if we don't do this now, when will it happen?
Yeah.
So the Christmas tree for us, we have a real tree. That's a little bit of a different situation, at least in my mind. I told him because he had my father-in-law's truck to get rid of the trash that we had to take it and haul it to the dumpster so that it wasn't sitting around the house all over the place. And I was like, why do you have the truck? We could go dump the Christmas tree. If I undecorate it, will you take it? And he's like, yeah, if you do it. So I basically just tore apart. Like, all the stuff that came off the Christmas tree, they're sitting in neat, organized piles. I don't know where the totes are, because usually I do the putting up and the taking down, and he's the tote man, along with Charlie. And so I took everything off the Christmas tree, and it's sitting there, but pretty much everything else inside the house is still up. Outside the house, we took down all of our lighted decorations, our little characters that we have at our house. We took those down and bagged them up and set them to where they need to be taken in the attic, but we still have wreaths on the windows and stuff.
We did not take down our outside decorations either.
You still lighting them?
Which is tough. Yeah, they're still on because they're on an automatic timer and I haven't changed that.
Isn't today the 12th day of Christmas, though? You're still within your...
I have no idea, is
right.
It?
I believe it is.
Okay, well then I'm okay tonight.
Yeah. Tomorrow is Epiphany and you need to get your act together.
Tomorrow, if that deer is still looking like it's bending over onto the...
You need to make it a Valentine's Day deer.
Drinking the water that I have that's blue
lights.
Is
it a male deer or a lady deer?
Oh, it's definitely a male. We made that evident.
Yeah. With the antlers.
Antlers.
Yeah.
With the antlers.
What did you think?
Obviously.
Does it have a lady deer?
Not anymore.
Well, if you get a lady deer, then it can be Valentine's Day.
What are those deer doing to each other?
That's probably going to get me in trouble. And it was a harmless comment. Leave me alone.
Oh, no. I mean, we're going to make the lighted deer mounting each other on our front yard. But that's the problem is that
you know that message I sent you, showed you from the listener who's like you said something very direct. And you're like, I don't talk about that on the air. See, there are these lines that we have where we kind of dance around something carefully and cautiously. And then you say that you're going to have your deer mounting each other on the front lawn.
I'm not, though, because that one is dead. The female deer died.
Yeah, but that's the only reason you're not.
Yeah, that's the only reason.
And you're talking about it.
It's the only reason. Because she was drinking the water. We have a little bit of blue lights that we lay down around a tree to make it look like a little pond. You know, it's very nice looking, except for all the leaves that won't go away. And then the male deer stands there overlooking the pond, and the female deer drinks from the pond. But the female deer is dead because all of her lights went out last year.
I don't think it was ever alive, but okay.
The spark of
does
life.
Does the Christmas, does taking down Christmas lights make you sad? And decorations?
You know why it makes me the most sad?
Because you have
because
to do
I'm
it.
Doing
it's
things.
Work, yes.
Yes.
That's totally predictable. I was talking about like a heart emotional thing, not a I don't want to do it thing.
No, no, no emotion or heart in it at all. No, I do not care. I hate the fact that the season is over, if that's what you're hinting at, though, because I do love the Christmas season, and I love listening to Christmas music, and when that's gone, it's over. But this year was really weird, because everybody was sick. We had to shuffle our Christmases around over and over and over. Some of them we didn't even have.
What kind of sick? Because we've had sniffles in our house, and in the last 3 days, a lot of people with upset stomachs, not like nothing super eventful. And I told them they weren't allowed because we were down a toilet. It's like, uh-huh. You can't. It just can't work. One of you is going to have to go outside. So no like apocalypse type of stomach issues, but everybody was feeling, my mom would say, puny. And I was like, gosh, I hope this doesn't get real bad right before it's time to come back to work. What kind of sick did you guys have?
We found out all three of our kids had strep.
Ugh.
On the day after Christmas or the day after that. I don't know which. And so everything that we had planned for that whole, I think the day after Christmas we were still okay, so it was probably the following. Everything after that was canceled. We didn't get to do anything for New Year's. Nothing, none of the other Christmases we had planned with Katie's family happened.
They just know you never did it.
We sent each other the gifts in the mail. It just didn't happen.
What'd you do with that time? Were people miserable?
Somewhat. Yeah, the kids were not in good shape.
They were just
lethargic. I never got anything.
Because you were sick before.
I was sick before Christmas,
yeah.
But then I got an antibiotic and got over it. So I was okay. But everybody else in the family was just lethargic. My littlest one is usually full of energy, 8 years old. He would just come in and just lay down and just fall asleep next to you. And you're like, okay, I think you're probably sick. You don't know that you are, but you are. And that's what we did. We didn't. The hard part is then you don't clean the house. Nothing gets done because everybody's just laying.
You kind of have to surrender to it, though, and then just be like, sometimes the slowdown is a gift.
And it was. And I said, this is the best time of the year for everybody to just be sick and rest because we don't have anything else. We don't have to cancel. Well, we had to cancel Christmas. But we don't have to cancel.
Did you watch movies? What did you do?
Oh, yeah. We watched a lot of movies.
What'd you watch?
I watched Home Alone 3. And I gotta say,
instant classic.
That is underrated.
Really?
That movie's better. You know why? The plot setup is actually better than the first two. It's more believable. Because the kid gets, I mean,
are there cell phones and stuff in three?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think it's still early enough. I think it was 97.
There are very few movies that once you get to like sequel number 3 or 4 or 5, I'm like, you do not get my time.
Oh, the budget is a tenth of it what it was in the first one. And it's just, it has no connection to any of the McAllisters. So it's not at all connected to the original. But the plot of it, I have to say, aside from the fact that it's like an international chip manufacturer that happened to send the wrong thing to this family, the reason he gets left home alone is more believable. He has chicken pox. And his mom's like, "Were you going to be okay?" Yeah, he's just like, "Well, you're going to be okay for the day. Mom and dad have to go to work. You're okay for the day." And so he's alone just by himself during the day while the criminals are coming around instead of it being that he got left on vacation.
Man.
I found that to be very refreshing, Annie.
So you were homesick with the kids over Christmas, and I asked you what you did, and your highlight is Home Alone 3.
The plot, the setup of Home Alone 3.
You know,
3.
You're a writer. You would know.
I loved it. I loved it. 5 stars.
Out of?
80.
Review says, good if you have strep.
Good if you have low expectations.
Brad, anybody get sick at your house?
No, nobody got sick.
That's good.
Super exciting. So
super exciting.
Sounds super exciting. I'll tell you this, though. Yeah. The one gift I was looking forward to the most from my brother-in-law, he didn't get to come for Christmas, so he sent it in the mail. Apparently, it was like a 12-pack of root beer, which you understand how much I love.
Yeah, so much that you give it to people who don't.
Yeah, just in case I end up at your house, you're like, oh, these root beers are still here.
You bought that for you?
I don't know.
You bought that for the State of the Union 2026?
Maybe. We'll find out.
Yeah, we will.
And then he sent it, and they all broke because you can't send liquid in the mail. They ask you before you send it. And so I never got it, and so he sent me my backup gift, which was the Best of Queen on vinyl.
Nice.
Not as good as root beer, but still pretty good.
Did you sit and listen to that?
Yeah.
Awesome. The Best of Queen. How many songs on that album?
Way too many, because they made it, the original was just one record, two sides. Now they're like, oh, we could kind of juice that up a little bit. Now it's two records, four sides, and they added songs that I've never heard. So it's
best
like
stuff.
Not really the best stuff anymore.
Ethan, Sports and Local, the first of 2026, next. Don't go away.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Check it out.
Sports and Local.
Friendly Ethan gives soothing menthol-voiced story readings.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into 97.1 FM Talk.
Ryan, they just sound like AI.
I have not used a bit of AI in
making
this.
I think you should give it a shot.
Okay.
They sound like...
like flowery
they sound like
crap.
The picture is flawless, except for that sixth finger. Ethan, and your sixth finger? That's hard to say.
Indeed it is.
Give us that finger.
Let's talk. Let's go ahead and talk about local news.
Can I interject one more time?
Yeah.
You know that Ed Sheeran song where he talks about Sixth Street?
No.
I don't know
Sixth
all the words.
Street.
I don't really know Ed Sheeran well.
I don't really either, which is why I don't know the name of the song.
Is it the one
Picture?
Where he goes, walking
is there a
in
song?
Memphis?
Yes!
That's Ed Sheeran? Walking on Sixth Street.
Picture? Is there a song he has called Picture or something?
Look at this photograph.
No!
That's Ed Sheeran.
I don't know.
I think it's a song called Picture or something that has to do with Picture. And he says Sixth Street.
Okay.
And
look at this picture, Sixth Street.
Sixth. And it makes me so mad, but here's the problem. I have to hear him sing it every time. It's like I'm waiting
for it to change.
For it to get corrected.
Yeah.
And it hasn't yet. Sixth Street. Oh, it makes me crazy. You were saying, Ethan?
Yeah, I can talk about some other things that probably will make you guys crazy listening to them. So, you know, obviously there was some big news over the weekend, everything that occurred in Venezuela. There were so many people. All you had to do was go on social media to see all of the people celebrating the Venezuelans, both there and here in the United States, celebrating the liberation that is currently going on in that country. But with all of the supporters comes opposition as well, and there certainly was some opposition both in the United States as well here in St. Louis. Yes, there was a protest, a hands-off Venezuela protest on Sunday on Tam Avenue on the overpass above I-64.
Oh, are those people okay?
Well, all 12 of them seem to be fine.
A dozen?
That's what it looked like.
Not even a baker's?
Now, I'm going off of pictures, videos that I saw.
That's six for the times two.
Thank you. Thank you. Via picture that I saw it. Thank you.
Walk in on Temp Street.
I appreciate KSDK for this story because there's some great quotes here from a couple different people. The couple of people interviewed. First off, this old white guy name was Pat McCoy. And then the other one's name was Zen Resistor. That sounds like a Twitch
name. Is not a person.
That is, that like is a Star Wars character.
That just makes me think that Ryan Wiggins is really underperforming. Look at what people are out there doing.
I'm Resistor.
I just thought it'd be kind of fun to read through some of these quotes from a couple of these people.
Start with Zen Resistor or Pat McCoy.
Trump is a war criminal.
Okay. It's really great to see these people are now four dictators. Go on.
No kidding, except that one.
It's illegal. What Trump is doing with this administration is endangering us all. It sounds like Maduro was a bad man, and he needed to be gone. But the way he went about doing it, it was totally wrong.
Should have been nicer. Is this your menthol voice?
It's a kinder, gentler removal.
I could try a different voice.
No, let's keep going.
An unprovoked attack on another country, capturing their president, regardless of what that person is doing in that country, it's a crime of war. No, not that one. Back to the other one. Let's see. Demonstrators held up signs with slogans such as impeach, indict, and in prison. I like that one.
Alliteration.
Now they're talking about Maduro, right? They want to imprison Maduro?
No, I don't think that's what they're going for here.
I like how one of them goes, you know what? After I research this, it sounds like this Maduro guy was kind of bad. But I'm still here because I don't like our president.
I like this one, this quote. We've been through 9/11 and he's opening our borders up to that same kind of terrorism.
That's a Northeastern.
Maybe my favorite.
On Tam Street.
Anything else?
Hey, do you want to listen to Wilson Contreras' comments? Remember that one game? He had a home run, I think. Something. And it was when, I think
during
it was
the election.
It was when Maduro lost the election. And there was all of this stuff going on in Venezuela. Wilson Contreras is from Venezuela. Mm-hmm. So I've been thinking about this. He hit a home run, and then he was super emotional after the fact. Now, Wilson Contreras is an emotional dude. He brings emotion
on his sleeve.
But he was particularly emotional about this. The cut is from July 29th of 2024. This is Wilson Contreras after.
Yes, today my country is going to be one of the biggest days in Venezuela history. For the past 25 years, we have people there and me, I was part of it. We have lived in a dictatorship, and I really pray to God that it comes to an end. I don't think any player has spoke about this, but I really pray to the U.S. government to keep an eye on it, because they're going to do whatever they're going to do to stay in the power. But the country is speaking, and we all want the change, and it's really I got really emotional, because last night I know what was going to happen today. It's really tough for all the Venezuelans, and especially for me, because I had a chance to play for Venezuela and I didn't, and I regret that. But today I think it's one of those days where my emotions were there, and I'm really praying to God for a complete change in Venezuela, because all the Venezuelan people needs that, and we need the change for good.
Listen to Wilson Contreras, who was maybe then a catcher, or was he catching at that time? First baseman for the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yes, he was catching at that time.
And, you know, he has this emotional, hit a home run. It was a home run, right? Didn't he hit a home run?
I don't remember that
part. There was something he did that was pivotal, maybe a key base hit or something like that. But, like, when he went back into the dugout, he was in tears. And it was just a little extra, to the point where in the interview after the game, likely in the clubhouse, which you've done how many times?
I think I was there during this, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I think I was.
Well,
I mean, I worked for the Cardinals that season, so that would have made sense for me to be there at home.
That would have made a ton of sense. But I remember hearing him talk about that, and he said, I don't know if any other baseball players have talked about this before, but he's saying, when he said 25 years there, that Venezuela has fallen into this disarray, and he's like literally talking about praying to God that something would change in Venezuela, and that was in 2024. That hits me more. That's, you know, pre-political Donald Trump doing this, that, or whatever. 2024, Trump wouldn't have been president. But when you hear that, doesn't that make you? I mean, to me, that carries a lot of weight as to how I look at the situation in Venezuela, and I think about the Venezuelan people. And then you have Wilson Contreras, who is somebody who is, you know, I don't know if the I don't know that Wilson Contreras would say he escaped Venezuela, because I believe him to be very proud of his Venezuelan heritage, but he's very keenly aware of what's going on in that country. And what I've heard a lot about is that, you know, Venezuela is a highly educated place. It's obviously an earth-rich place. Like, it doesn't deserve to be in this state of disarray where this narco-terrorism has taken over the country and thrown all democratic principle to the wind.
Yeah.
When Wilson Contreras is a baseball player, he doesn't need to say this. He's not gaining anything. In fact, he's risking a lot by coming out and making a comment like that.
That's cool. Him calling out, basically, dictatorships and election fraud as it was happening at that moment.
Yeah. Pretty amazing. I'm glad we had that in the archives there.
Yeah, matches up really well with who he is in general. Great guy. Cardinals are going to miss him next year, as he just got traded to Boston a couple of weeks ago. Moving on in sports and local, time to get on to some sports here, please. The Illinois Fighting Illini winners against Penn State.
Do we want to talk about the Bragging Rights game again or no?
That's up to you guys.
Well, that's why it's called the Bragging Rights game.
Did we hit on it? Did we talk about Bragging Rights? Yeah, holy beatdown.
Not a lot.
Should bring it up to Mark Reardon.
Yeah.
He was there.
Scoreboard. That's all.
Exactly.
I actually felt, there's not many times where I feel bad. It was not good.
It was like 91-48. Yeah, and Illinois also won their bowl game, the Music City Bowl, right after Christmas against Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it was a good game. And boy, those Illini uniforms, the All Navy, crispy.
Those were great.
Mizzou upset the defending national champions a couple of nights ago. Florida, 76-74. Biggest win of the year for the Tigers, who are having a little bit of a down year, as you just mentioned, Annie, in that Bragging Rights game. Big tell there.
I think that was an encouraging win for them. The basketball game, that there was a lot of injuries.
Yes, they have healed up a little bit since then, which is an encouraging sign for them. So they face Kentucky on Wednesday night, and we'll see if they can begin moving in the right direction.
Ooh,
Illinois plays Rutgers on Thursday. Huh?
Mark Cox, big Mizzou fan.
Is he?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, he sure is. I share an office with him. He's got Mizzou stuff everywhere.
Everywhere. He's like, go Tigers.
Yeah.
All the time.
He likes a certain type of tiger.
Likes a certain kind of cat.
Cat, yeah. Wild cat.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes, thank you.
I was going to say, when does Missouri run the alternate blues?
That's a great question. I don't have the answer to that. It's probably been a couple years. Brad, any more? Keep going?
No, keep going.
No, keep going. Got it. Okay. Had to connect the double negative there. Hey, good thing in the news, finally, about Lambert Airport. Feels like all we talk about is negative things about our tiny little airport here in St. Louis. But in a time where throughout the country this past weekend, delays everywhere, some due to weather, some just due to busyness around this time of year. Lambert Airport, only 6 flights canceled over the last part of the weekend,
Great job, guys.
Really good compared to the rest of the country. So good job,
Lambert
Airport.
Cheers to Lambert Airport. I'm going to use my gift from Brad for Christmas to celebrate.
Yeah! Every time I go to Lambert, I love their throat rolls.
Their what?
Let's go to break.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We'll explain it later. All right, take a quick break here. Do you agree with President Trump's action to arrest Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro? Yes or no? Ryan's got a few texts he's going to read when we come back. We'll highlight some of your YouTube comments as well. If you want to give us a text, 314-241-9797, 314-241-9797. We'll be right back.
Right now.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. A few texts that I want to get to here. 314-241-9797. That's what Ryan was just talking about. How do you feel about President Trump's action to arrest Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro? What do you got over there, Ryan?
Mostly agree. I think every single one of them I'm looking at right now is a yes in this poll. So saying yes, they agree with the action to take out President Nicolas Maduro, our illegitimate president, dictator Nicolas Maduro. The first one just says yes. Second one here says I agree. Here's one that says yes, but I'm worried the Dems and enemies will do the same thing to Trump. And then finally, yes. He, I think this is talking about Maduro, invited Trump, implored him, and downright begged him to do it, this commenter says.
Yeah, he said, come and get me.
Come and get me.
Just kind of like Biden said to the immigrants.
I guess that's true.
Boy, they did too.
I guess that's true. He did say that.
One of the things I wanted to ask Jim Talent when we spoke with him at 1 o'clock, great interview. I encourage you to tune into the podcast, wherever you get your podcast from, or AnnieFryShow.com. And listen to that conversation. One thing I wanted to ask him, but we went way long in that segment to begin with, is this the first of many? Because Trump's like, the Colombian president is like, oh, you can come get me and my people will be in the streets to protest, blah, blah, blah. Brazil had funny business in their election.
Yes, they did.
It's just like, okay, if in Venezuela, do we wash, rinse, repeat in a bunch of different places, or was there a particular reason Venezuela was the place to go? And this is that.
Another comment just came in. Says, yes, I agree with Trump. He's making decisions on information we don't have that he does have, and I trust him and his administration. That's really what it comes down to, isn't it? Mm. Do you trust that he's doing this on behalf of the country for the right reasons or not?
You know, I had a conversation with a friend over the break, and they were talking about, they came back to the Epstein files. For people on the left who hate Trump, they just think that there is something in the Epstein files that Donald Trump has covered up this long.
And Joe Biden covered it up, too.
That Joe Biden was like, no, that would be bad for Trump. I'm going to hold on to that.
Right.
They're so connected to that. I honestly believe that it's not a good faith argument. I honestly believe that they don't really have anything else, and that the Epstein stuff is so juicy in salaciousness that they can kind of throw that out there. It's quite a red herring. But the person was really frustrated about the redactions in the files that were released. And I said, well, that's like the Department of Justice that is redacting things. And I said the Department of Justice obviously works for Trump. So it is Trump's Department of Justice. And he said there shouldn't be any redactions. And I said, well, do you want victims' names to be? Because I understand the thought process behind just release them and it is what it is. But if it was your sister or mother who was a victim and that wasn't public knowledge, would you want that to then be public knowledge? And the answer was, well, no, not really. Not, okay, so don't redact or do redact the victim's names. Well, what about sources and methods of collecting of information that our intelligence agencies need to protect? What, you know, do you expose somebody who was involved in this process and then something bad happens to them? How can you serve in intelligence if you're not certain that the government that is using your services, where you are most often risking your life to acquire information, that they're not going to protect it when it comes down to it? And, you know, they were like, well, yeah, I understand that, too. And I said the exact same thing of what we're saying here. Like, at the end of the day, you just have to trust the people to do the job correctly and with honesty. And I get why people on the left are never going to trust Donald Trump. I'm never going to trust Joe Biden. Now, I think that I have reasons, I have more measurable reasons to not trust what Joe Biden did based on the things that they did do and the things that have been uncovered. But I haven't seen anything from the Trump administration where I feel like they are skirting. I feel like the error of the Trump administration is to be, if they're going to err one side or the other, it's going to be so transparent and so bold and so aggressive as opposed to the other side, which was everything's OK, guys, we got this. And then behind the curtain is where the business happens.
Yeah, it's hard to control Donald Trump. Even his own team can't control Donald Trump. So
you have to, there is an element of trust that is going to have to be put, which is why it matters who you vote for, why it matters who you decide to send to represent you. At some point, you have to trust them or concede yourself to say, I don't trust them. And that's that.
The Epstein story just saddens me because there's obviously so much more to him trafficking children to Epstein Island, and there's, you know, the rape and pedophilia and stuff. I mean, all that stuff, there's so much more to that than we're going to know. And yet, how long did the right, mostly, and I would say more like the internet right, push, we got to know more, got to know, got to know more. And then we start to find out more, and there just isn't that much in these files. There's no more than what they had. And now, if it weren't for Donald Trump's picture being attached to Jeffrey Epstein at some point in the past, the left would have still never cared about it. Yeah. It's just about Trump. It's just sad.
Jeremy comments on our YouTube live broadcast right now regarding President Trump's Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro arrest. Love this. I was cheering out loud when I heard it. Trump's leadership is absolutely incredible. This is the real war on drugs, and this is also going to send a message to China and Russia. Any more texts you want to read before we go?
No, because they're all saying yes. I mean, it's just people saying the same thing, which is, yes, I agree with it.
314-241-9797 if you want to text us, and you can hit us up on the Annie Fry YouTube live broadcast. The poll is in the live chat, and when we come back, we're going to have those results for you before we wrap up the show. Looking here real quick, 261 votes so far. Come be a part of that and weigh in on the YouTube channel. We'll be right back. Give a firm handshake. I just looked at my Ring camera, and we have this orange and white cat that's showed up at our house. It sets off the Ring camera quite a bit. And I said something to in front of my kids. I was like, oh, that cat's back here. And my son goes, oh, is it the orange and white one? And I go, yeah, why? He goes, oh, I love that cat. I pet that cat all the time. And I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, am I not supposed to do that? I'm like, well, what do you mean pet? He goes, oh, I pick that cat up and sit and pet it outside. And I'm like, well, no wonder this cat's coming. I go, do you feed it?
He's lasagna.
Like, no, yeah, it's Garfield. Yeah, it's, what do you do with a stray cat? We have two cats that come around our house, and I don't know who they belong to. I would be incredibly worried if my cat was roaming like that where I live. We were at home at one of the days on break, and I would think I was cleaning dishes at the sink in the kitchen, which looks out onto our deck. And here comes a cat strolling onto our deck, which is, you know, in a backyard upstairs because it's a lookout or walkout, whatever. And that cat had been on that deck before. I wonder if, like, right now, if that cat is, like, staring in our window, just meowing at my dogs. Poor dogs.
Cats.
You ever had a cat?
No. Well, actually, yes. I'd had a cat very briefly when I got married because I married into a cat. And that cat lasted about 5 months. And then it died.
Did you kill it?
I didn't directly kill it.
Ooh.
I did hate it into death.
Oh. Your wife's cat? Did your wife like the cat?
It was really old. Ming Chow was that cat's name. And that cat, I'm allergic, so the cat had to stay in our unfinished basement at the time, and I think the sadness killed the cat.
Oh.
True story. True story.
Ever had a cat, Brad?
No, I am super allergic to cats.
Are there people who lie about being allergic to cats just because they don't like them?
Absolutely. I'm not one of them. I'm actually allergic to cats.
I also don't like them, but...
I don't either.
But I'm super allergic.
It's convenient that I'm allergic to cats.
Yes.
My dog, Winnie, the Cavalier King Charles Spaniel, she's 11 pounds, and she's like all the good things about a cat, but the best thing is she's not.
Yeah.
She's a dog.
I hear that.
Yeah. Super snuggly and cuddly. Fits right in my lap. Always wants to sit on my lap.
I kind of want that dog now.
Oh, you wanted that dog since I got that dog.
I know.
You should get a dog like that. You can't have my dog.
I'll send a robot cat over to inspect your house to see if I like it.
From the Huffington Post, where we get all of our news here on the Mark Cox Morning Show. Just kidding. Six things productivity experts do when they come back to work after vacation. I think the first thing is they label themselves a productivity expert.
Yeah, they write an article about it.
Imagine being so good at productivity. Like, that's... If you're good at productivity, are you...
Oh, you're strutting.
Well, I mean...
Hey, everybody. Productivity experts here.
But is that, like, the worst kind of coworker? Like, I'm a productivity expert. But if you're talking about it, you're not producing anything.
Let me know if you need to increase your output. I know everybody's got the holiday hangover.
You sound like a 1990s SNL character. Like you and the Making Copies Rob Schneider guy should work together. The first thing is they admit they can't respond to everyone at once.
Ugh, because they're so busy.
Quote, one of the most important things that I do before I go on vacation to keep me from being overwhelmed after is I put up an autoresponder that is a little bit more detailed than, hey, I'm out of the office from this day to this day. Instead, I have a really detailed out-of-office message that lets people know when I will be unavailable, whether I'll be checking email intermittently, or if I'm not going to be available at all. And then, based on who you are, I let you know when to expect a response.
That's a great idea, because then it's so long, nobody reads it.
I was just going to say, TLDR. Nope. Number two, they take an extra day of vacation just to switch their mindset. I do this if I can manage it, depending on where I was. So I took extra time. I took an extra day when we went to Hawaii, because I had never been that far out of my time zone before, so I didn't know what the jet lag was going to be. I'm glad I did it. I think Mark Reardon was talking about, I told him I was taking an extra day, and he had just gotten back from Europe or something, and he's like, I screwed up and didn't take it. So that's one thing. But if you're in a go vacation or something like that, and you get back to work, it is hard in our line of business to catch back up to what we need to know and talk about.
Yeah, it is. Although when I went to Japan last year, I came back and came right back to work.
Yeah, we had a day of you just kind of giggling.
Yeah, that was a mess.
It was great. I didn't even have to buy any Oreo cream pies or oatmeal cream pies.
And that's on me because I need those most of the time.
Oreo cream pie sounds pretty good.
I eat that.
Yeah, you totally would. Third thing is, and these are six things productivity experts do when they come back to work after vacation. Three, they tackle the to-do list they created before vacation. So you're supposed to create yourself a to-do list before you go on vacation for when you get back.
I actually do this.
You do that?
I do. I was going to say do, but I was like, no way, I'm not saying that poop joke.
Here we are.
I do it,
on the other side of the poop joke.
I do make a list before I leave because catching back up is hard. You forget what you're doing.
What kind of things are on your list?
Making new rejoins for all of our shows that are a little less, a little more generic, I think, because the ones that are like faith, family, that's wearing out.
That's specific to right now.
That is very specific.
But just like if you know you're going to have to do things when you get back, you throw it on a list.
Mm-hmm.
My grandpa always used to say, make a list. And the first thing you put on your list is to make a list. So then when you're done, you can already check something off.
It's a wise man.
Yes, he was. Number four of the six things productivity experts say they do when they come back to work after a vacation. What did I say number four here? They first do tasks that only take a few minutes. My first day or two at work would go mostly to collecting, organizing, and prioritizing the pile up of work. I'd write down all the tasks and use the Eisenhower matrix to organize and prioritize them.
I mean, that's fine. I prefer the Roosevelt matrix.
I would have bet the entire deficit that you were going to make a joke about a different president.
No, that was predictable?
Oh my gosh, the most predictable thing.
Was Roosevelt acceptable?
Sure.
Should I use like McKinley?
I wish you would have gone more obscure than that. The Roosevelt matrix.
I like that I left it vague because you don't know which Roosevelt.
I think I know. Do you prioritize your tasks? Like, these things always make me kind of laugh because it's like you need affirmation so bad that you need to do some quick tasks so you can be like, I did a great job. I think I'll do more of my work and job. And do you, like, do you need that though?
Kind of.
Okay.
Yeah, I kind of need that.
Well, if you need it, you need it.
Yeah.
Number five, they remind themselves it's okay to have a slow start.
Productivity experts say that to themselves?
Yeah, I think this is literally what I said in our first segment today. Guys, it's going to be a little rough for a few days. We'll hit our peak around Thursday.
No, I think this is stupid. Productivity experts need to hit the ground running. That's why you got the list.
I give myself a pep talk. I tell myself, I just returned from vacation. It took me several days to unwind and relax. Similarly, it's going to take several days for me to get back to my regular routine.
I think this person needs to get over it. Get some work. Quit talking to yourself.
Number six, they mark everything as red to eliminate stress.
What?
Put everything on red. Just click that bold-faced email subject.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So all the emails you got, you're just not checking them.
Pretty much.
Basically just ignoring everything that came in.
Market is red. Ethan, you want to give us the results to today's poll?
Gladly, Annie Fry. 272 votes on today's YouTube live chat poll. Good work, everyone.
Woo-hoo.
Do you agree with President Trump's action to arrest Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro? We have a barn burner today's YouTube live chat poll. 94% say yes. 6% no.
Price is Right rules, I won.
You did. Brad, are you surprised that it was a little more than 60%?
Yeah. Super surprised. I thought there would be more. There were like no forever wars.
No forever wars or no comma forever wars?
No more forever wars.
Oh, okay. All right. I didn't know what to vote on this. I think I'm okay with it. Jim Talent made me feel like I was okay with it. You can check that interview on the Annie Fry Show podcast at anniefryshow.com, but keep it right here on 97.1 FM Talk. Mark Reardon's next.